This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. There's a case coming to the United States Supreme Court next month that has to do with prayer before public meetings. It is a case of Greece versus Galloway. Greece is a little town in upstate New York where for the last 15 years, every time they've had a town meeting, they have begun it with a prayer. What's wrong with that? Well, the group Americans United for the Separation of Church and State has been fighting against this on behalf of two citizens of Greece who don't like the fact that it's always a Christian prayer. And they are going to litigate this to the Supreme Court. Thus far, Americans United has been winning up until the appellate level, but the town has continued to litigate this forward, and so it will go to the Supreme Court in just the next few weeks. Ayesha Sultan will be the person who is the litigator or the person arguing it for the court for Americans United. Here is one of her associates, Greg Lipper, who is the senior litigation attorney at Americans United. Hi, Greg. Welcome to America Weekend.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing fine. What's wrong with what the city of Greece has been doing up until now?
There's two things wrong with it. The first is that citizens who come to these meetings, these town board meetings at the town of Greece, are in a very vulnerable position. They're there to petition their board, to ask for things, to receive awards. And the way the prayers are delivered with a very pressurized environment, requests to join and participate, essentially coerces citizens to join in prayers, whether or not they want to. And that's a core principle of the American Constitution, is that citizens should not be pressured to engage in religious activities that they don't want to be. It's a fundamental tenet of the freedom of conscience. So that's the first problem. The second problem is, as you alluded to in your introduction, that over two-thirds of these prayers have been explicitly Christian in content. And, you know, town of Greece, it's 100,000 people. Most of those people are Christian, but not all of them are. And it's another core principle of freedom of conscience and of the American Constitution that the government should not be affiliating itself with a particular religion. And if you put those things together, you get an especially serious problem because people are under pressure not only to join in prayer they may not want to join in, but to join in prayer of a particular religion. And so that's a significant intrusion on citizens' freedom of conscience if they want to attend these meetings, petition their government, and take part in their civic life.
In fact, from the time they started doing this in Greece up until the end of 2007, it was nothing but Christian prayers done by Christian clergy, correct?
That's right. I think virtually all of the clergy up to that point had been Christian, and about two-thirds of the prayers they delivered had been explicitly Christian, explicit references to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And then actually in the year and a half or so that the case was being litigated in the trial court, there were a couple of instances in which non-Christians delivered the prayers, but again, most of the prayer givers were Christian, and an even greater proportion of the prayers were Christian. So it really is, the town has claimed that they have this open access policy and you have this religious diversity, but, you know, you have at most token diversity, and even that lasted only a couple of months.
Let's say the town of Greece started this program where they were going to allow people to come in and say prayers, and they invited anybody in the community who wanted to do it to come forward and volunteer. But nobody except Christians did. Would that still be a problem?
Yes, it would be a problem. And I think it goes to, you know, one of the purposes of the Establishment Clause and the constitutional requirement of the separation of church and state is to protect religious minorities against, you know, majoritarian pressure. We agree that, you know, most of the people in the town are Christian, though not all of them, but the whole point of the separation of church and state is you don't let the majority impose their religious beliefs on the minority. And that's why a so-called open access policy, which I might add isn't really what happened here, but even if it was what happened here, you know, it would still be essentially counting heads. There are more Christians in the community, and so therefore there would be more Christian prayers, and that's not the conception of religious liberty that the American Constitution put in place.
Let me ask you about the whole concept of prayers before public meetings. Even at the Supreme Court, when the justices come out, one of the bailiffs, or whatever they're called at the Supreme Court, says, "May God save this court." When the United States Congress opens its session each day in the Senate and the House, they each have a chaplain, and they each open with a prayer that day. City halls all across America probably do what the town of Greece, New York does. So that doesn't seem like there really is a line.
Well, let me actually address each of those things, because I think those are some of the things that the town has pointed to, but each of those situations is actually quite different from what's going on here. With respect to Congress, those are prayers that are intended for and directed at the members of Congress themselves. Now, there are spectators in the gallery, but, you know, they're there as purely spectators, tourists, if you will, not people petitioning before the board or before the government. So what goes on in Congress is people ministering to themselves. Even then, actually, the prayers are far more inclusive. And in fact, guest chaplains in Congress are instructed to avoid sectarian controversies and things like that. In the Supreme Court, you know, "God Save This Honorable Court" is I suppose it's technically a prayer, but it's a much shorter, less intrusive type of statement, and it's part of a general introduction of the justices. Even then, it would be quite different if the crier started off the sessions by saying, "Christ save this honorable court." I think that would make all of us uncomfortable.
And there's no way he would ever be saying, "Allah save this honorable court."
No, exactly. Or, you know, or any particular religion's God. And with respect to city halls across the country, I mean, I think this is actually an important point, and we've pointed this out in our brief, and other of our friend of the court briefs have pointed out, cities and even state governments across the country, many of them actually, when they invite guest chaplains, ask their guest chaplains to pray in a manner that's inclusive, that's not, you know, that in many cases non-denominational. And so what we're asking for is simply that. We understand that the Supreme Court has said that legislative bodies can open their meetings with prayer, but the court has never said that those prayers can be consistently sectarian, consistently associated with one religion, and most of legislatures across the country are actually making efforts to be far more inclusive. You know, we are, you know, a majority Christian country, but an increasingly religiously diverse country, and especially at the local government level, when you have really this civic ideal of direct citizen participation, you know, what de Tocqueville referred to as civic schools. That situation, it's especially important that citizens are not pressured to participate in religious exercises they don't want to be, and that they're not excluded on the basis of religion, because the whole point of these local government meetings is civic participation, citizens coming together to govern themselves, and prayers affiliating the city or the town with a single religion undermine that effort.
You know, I was joking about Allah save this court, but now I'm thinking, if in this town of Greece, New York, there was a large Muslim population, and each day they started with a prayer to Allah or mentioned Muhammad, I think you'd have a lot of people who were on your side in saying, "Hey, you know what? Knock that off."
I think that's right. And you're actually seeing, I mean, you're starting to see this a little more often now, that there are groups, you know, the same groups that when it's Christian religious exercise being promoted by the government say that the separation of church and state is a fiction, it's not really in the Constitution. When they perceive some other religion being promoted, all of a sudden they embrace the that same principle. There's a lawyer who used to be affiliated actually with our opposing counsel in this case, who brought a lawsuit against a school district in California saying that the teaching of yoga was actually promoting Hinduism in schools. Now, the judge looked at the case and decided that that particular yoga practice was not in fact religious. But you see that that folks that say, on the one hand, "Oh, there is no separation of the church and state, when they see some other religion being promoted or think some other religion is being promoted, they sing a different tune. And yes, you're right that we are an increasingly religiously diverse nation. We may not be majority, you know, Muslim or majority Jewish as a whole, but there are certainly going to be communities or particular towns in which other religions become the majority. And these types of rules, right, they don't just protect the current religious minorities, but they protect current religious majorities who may not always be the majority.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, all right, really this case is going to be argued by Aisha Sultan, who is the chief legal counsel for Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. This is Greg Lipper, who's their senior litigation attorney, and I appreciate you joining me here today.
My pleasure.
That case will be heard at the Supreme Court in November. The decision won't be announced until next spring. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Networks. America.